I'm so old, somehow I could
Lonesome I Could Die, and even mentions dying in the song, which is what Jonah is doing here, last part of verse 8. It would be better for me to die than to live. It continues. This is what fascinates me about this chapter. Verse 9, but God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? Now, verse 4, but the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? Verse 9, but God said to Jonah, do you have any right to be angry about the vine? He's asking the same question. In verse 4, have you any right to be angry about the Ninevites repenting? Now in verse 9, have you any right to be angry about the vine? So, to me, this is called displaced anger. Is Jonah really angry about the vine? No, he's not angry about the vine. It's still about the Ninevites. It just happens to be the vine now. And we all have stuff like that happen. This is where we get, you know, you yell at the family or the kids or something. Are you really, was it really that? No, it's something else, right? And God is saying, do you really have any right to be angry about the vine? I mean, that's one way I kind of see it. Really? Are you really angry about the vine? I don't know if that's how he meant it, but this dialogue going back and forth, having a conversation like that with God, a two-way conversation. I mean, Jonah's not giving up. To me, you know, this is like a teenage kid who's just not going to admit they're wrong? No. And God's hanging in there, but at some point you're like, when's he going to go? That's it. Yeah, okay, I'm moving on. God can be pretty angry. But part of the story is God's compassion. So through chapter 3, we're seeing God's compassion to a mass of people, right? Obviously, and that's where most everybody gets the story. Tens of thousands of people, city of Nineveh, an evil city, turned toward God. Now we're looking at God's compassion towards a believer who is struggling mightily with lots of issues. And God still is having compassion. In fact, the anger is over God's compassion. And yet God is still having compassion. So verse 9. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? And here's Jonah's comeback. I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. Golly. He's not going to let go. He is not going to let go. So I'm gonna play a song here. This is my obligatory Don Williams song for you. So I thought I've got to squeeze a Don Williams song in here because you love him. So I couldn't get quite one that fit, but this is close enough. So this is Don Williams, Some Broken Hearts Never Mend. So here we go.
Coffee black, cigarette, start this day like all the rest. First thing every morning that I do is start missing you. Some broken hearts never mend, some memories never end, some tears will never dry, my love for you will never die. In the night, a willing woman to hold me tight. But in the middle of love's embrace, I see your face. Some broken hearts never mend, some memories never. Some tears will never dry, my love for you will never die. Some broken hearts never mend, some memories never end. Some tears will never dry, my love for you will never die.
Okay, so that was Don Williams, Some Broken Hearts Never Mend. So we're coming towards the end of the story, and we've got this dialogue going back and forth. Jonah's angry, and he keeps coming back. So chapter 4, verse 9, "But God said to Jonah, 'Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?' 'I do,' he said. 'I am angry enough to die.'" So we listen to the song. Now this is chapter or verse 10. "But the Lord said, 'You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" That's it. It's over. It ends. But there's no ending. You're like, wait, what? How did it end? We want the Hollywood ending. I want the postscript. I want the words after. And then Jonah got up and rejoiced. Jonah decided that the Ninevites were actually okay, and he went and joined, and they had a feast. Or Jonah actually pulled out the razor blade and killed himself. Or what did Jonah do? What happened?
Yeah, man, where's the rest of the story?
Yeah. So one interpretation I read of this was hooked on to was that this is the Hollywood ending is fade to black. So this is God talking, verse 11. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about the great city? He's talking to Jonah, who's sitting there in the middle of the road. The vine has died. He's angry. He's angry at the Lord, and the God is sitting there telling him, who are you? What right do you have to be angry? There's 120,000 people down there that were just saved, and you're up here angry. Who are you? Shouldn't I be concerned? Shouldn't you be concerned about that great city? And he's sitting there in the middle of the road listening to God with this angry face, and God is sitting there chastising him, and then you fade to black. And in the story, we end up being Jonah. So that's it. So what are we going to do? We're supposed to write the rest of the story. You know, I've thought a lot about that because I'm like, okay, then what? We want this nice, neat. But God, there's no break. I mean, he was gracious and compassionate. He didn't strike Jonah dead with a lightning bolt. Ungrateful son of a gun. You know, God provided him a little relief, but then he took the relief away, kind of as a point. And then he gives him the ultimate comeuppance and then just fades away. And so we're left sitting in the middle of the road, you know, with our own anger trying to figure it out. So that's why I find this thing so fascinating, because there is no ending. And I've, like I said, I've heard lots of sermons. Most of them end at the end of chapter 3. So
this really speaks to me, because as you're talking, I'm reminded when Victoria died, my daughter,
mm-hmm.
and I became so angry at God. I blamed God. And I would, if I'm going to be totally honest and transparent, I would probably say that I had a hatred for God for a moment.
And I think those are normal feelings. We've all had instances where we've got, gone, you got to be kidding me. Wait, what? Hold on a second here. That isn't the way it was supposed to go. For a lot of different things. This isn't fair, or it wasn't, this isn't how I was taught, or this isn't what the scripture was interpreted to me, and now it's happening this way. Or why was that innocent person, or what was... And, God, I want some answers. In fact, you know, after my dad died for a while, I think I still do, I've got a list of questions for God. And, you know, in one way I can say I've got a list of things God's got to answer for. How arrogant is that? Okay, I can say there are a list of questions. God, you need to answer these questions. And I'm an attorney, so I can say, okay, you're going to be on the stand. Can you imagine that? Okay, so... Go ahead.
We've got a couple prayer requests.
Okay.
You want to do those now? Or
let me do a song. Let me do a song first, because this is an Emmylou Harris song, and it's called "Heaven Only Knows." Because I think in the end, this is it, and I think this is the same theme we come out with Job, is we don't know. I'm not going to get home. I think when I get up there, my list of questions is just going to fade away, and I'm not going to have it. Yeah, I'm not going to have it. Yeah, it's not going to matter. So, and Job, I can sit there and as a lawyer nitpick Job and do the Pharisee deal and go, okay, this proves God isn't real, or God doesn't care, or God is uncaring, or God is playing tricks with us. But in the end, the lesson is we don't know. It's in God's hands. And so this is an Emmylou Harris song, and it's called "Heaven Only Knows." Because in the end, it's the unknowing that we have to step out in faith, understanding that God's grace will take care of it. But the faith is we don't know. And we're not going to know on a lot of things. And that's where we step out in faith. Okay, so this is Emmylou Harris, Heaven Only Knows. Yes.
Our friend and faithful listener, Mignon, has asked us to pray for the Santiago family. Connie has been diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome. We'd like to pray for the family of Travis Goggin of Cordell, who went to his heavenly home, and also pray for the family of Ronnie Carey of Canute, who went to his heavenly home.
Dear Lord, we come to you this day humbly asking for your forgiveness for our sins, praising you for giving us all that you have. We ask that you would be with the Santiago family, specifically for Connie, who has been diagnosed with the illness. We ask that you would watch over them, be with her and her family during their time of need. Place your healing hands upon her. Be with her caregivers and her doctors and nurses as she goes forward to fight this illness. We ask that you would be with the family of Travis Scoggins of Cordell, who went to be with this heavenly home. Watch over them during their time of need. Carry them. Place people in their path with a kind word or deed for support. And just let them know that your loving family is there to help them through this time. We ask also that you would be with the fam of Ronnie Carey of Canute, who went to be with this heavenly home. Please just be with them during their time of need. Give them comfort. Place people in their path with a kind word or deed, and just hold them in the palm of your hand during their time of need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've got a general prayer I want to read. This is from the Book of Common Prayer from the Episcopal Church. So I want to go ahead and read this to kind of close us out, if that's okay. Okay, Almighty God, giver of all good things, we thank you for the natural majesty and beauty of this land. They restore us, though we often destroy them, heal us. We thank you for the great resources of this nation. They make us rich, though we often exploit them, forgive us. We thank you for the men and women who have made this country strong. They are models for us, though we often fall short of them. Inspire us. We thank you for the torch of liberty which has been lit in this land. It has drawn people from every nation, though we have often hidden from its light. Enlighten us. We thank you for the faith we have inherited in all its rich variety. It sustains our life, though we have been faithless again and again. Renew us. Help us, O Lord, to finish the good work here begun. Strengthen our efforts to blot out ignorance and prejudice and to abolish poverty and crime, and hasten the day when all our people with many voices in one united chorus will glorify your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before we sign out, we're going to go ahead and have a word from our sponsors.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your socks off. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
A word from our sponsors.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
thank you all for tuning in this morning to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from Mr. Tom Ivester, y'all have a great day, and we'll see y'all next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.